This is Winning at Life. Yeah, you know it. It's the Daily Wrap, live financial talk radio. We're going to talk about your money, help you make some, save some, keep some. How about that? I am your host, Gregory Ricks, 504-260-0995.
I'm your co-host, James Parker, also coming up on the show today. You know, there are some ways it is harder to save for retirement if you have a high income. I know that seems counterintuitive, but the rules change if you're just too successful. The government wants to make it a little tougher for you. We'll tell you some workarounds on that. But we're starting off the show with a couple of special guests here. You know, we haven't talked about solar in a while, basically since the big subsidies went away, the tax credits, I should say, went away here in Louisiana. So it's kind of nice to circle back and check in on maybe another way people can save some money here. So we got Justin Yates and Ethan Stevens from SunPro Solar. Thanks very much for coming in, guys. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
All right. So SunPro Solar, what makes y'all different? What's the backstory? How'd y'all get started? Give me the origin story.
Well, the origin story is what a great man he is, Mark Jones. Mark Jones was CEO and co-founder of SunPro Solar. Mark Jones has been in the commercial and residential construction industry for 20-plus years. In 2008, he actually installed the first solar system in Louisiana.
He's ground zero? He is the alpha solar system in Louisiana?
No. As far as our company.
I was about to say, what?
And by the way, I want to correct you real quick. There is a 30% federal tax credit. The rebate went away.
Okay. Yeah, that's what you're here for. Clean all that up.
Yes.
And the rebate was with the state?
That's correct.
And that's the one that went away?
Yes, sir.
Any talk of it coming back?
Not really, but the benefit, 30% federal tax credit is huge in solar nationwide. It's 30% in any state you win in the United States of America. So that's a big buy-in right now to go in solar.
So that's some real money.
If he started in 2008, isn't that before we had the tax rebate?
No. They actually had the tax. 30% federal tax credit was before that.
No, I mean the state one.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. Right before that, it started a year after he actually started to offer and open up. That was part of the reason why he opened up SunPro.
All right. So that was the genesis of a lot of our solar industry here. We had a few other ones start around that time, too. All right. So how did it grow from there?
Well, it grew from there is since he was a great contractor and he still does what he says he's going to do and takes care of his customers, puts his customers first, as well as the employees. He was actually pretty much, begged to do a solar install because he does good work in the construction industry. And just letting you know, the first install, he actually hand unloaded on a truck as well with his employees. And it took 2 weeks to do the first install. And that was back in 2008, and we were generating roughly about $4 million a year in sales. And now we have 180 employees, and now we're actually ready to be about a little over $60 million a year.
Yeah, so y'all aren't just a New Orleans company anymore, huh?
Not at all. We're in Texas, New Mexico, Florida, Mississippi.
That's huge.
That's pretty big coverage.
Yes, sir.
All right, so you guys are based out of Mandeville?
That's our corporate headquarters in Mandeville. We have offices in Dallas, Houston, El Paso, San Antonio, and Florida as well.
See, that's cool when there's someone from Mandeville, a corporate office in Mandeville, telling people what to do in these other big metropolitan areas. You know,
right.
A sleepy old Mandeville running the show. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, we just tried to make going solar simple, and I think that's why we've grown so much. We just use the highest quality components, guarantee it for a really long time. You know, going solar is not a small decision. So we just try to make it as easy as possible and make it as simple as possible. Just use the best products, guarantee it for a really long time.
So when you're going solar, define that. What is that actually, going solar?
Going solar means several different things. Right now, everyone's renting their power. And people actually don't rent homes anymore. They invest in their homes to set themselves up for retirement. Well, the utility bill is the only thing that comes in every month. When you retire, you're on a fixed income, whether you have $100 in a bank or $100 million in a bank. And that utility bill still comes in every month. So right now, you go in solar is you go in green, you're helping the environment, you're adding equity in your home, and actually you're saving your money.
So how long can the solar last? And what are we speaking of? A lot of what I see is the panels on top of roofs.
Correct.
So what's the lifespan? Because somebody, say, retires at 65, their retirement could be 30 years.
Well, that's the benefit of SunPro. Mark Jones honors a 25-year labor and material warranty along with a 25-year power production guarantee. So when you go with SunPro, you're safe and secured for materials and labor 100% for 25 years. Lifespan of solar, it does start, I mean, technically it's 25 years we gauge it at, but that doesn't mean it just stops working after 25 years. It does decrease in the production, but no matter what, 25 years is a big warranty. There's nothing on the market that, I mean, most things only have, what, the high-end five-year warranty on something?
Mm-hmm. So if we're going solar, are we actually able to get off the grid? Because I'm thinking, you know, lights, lawn lights, the water heater, whether it might be an electric tank, or could, I wonder if it could run those tankless from an electric system. AC draws a lot of power. So how much are we reducing power, or does that depend on how many panels?
Well, what it does is, that's the benefits of SunPro, is that actually we solar specialists and we evaluate everyone's energy consumption in their home to see what size system to actually custom design to fit their needs. So in that aspect, to answer a couple of questions you're asking is, first of all, can you get off the grid? It's possible, but it's not financial smart right now to have the battery backup systems. Their deficiency and the cost of them are very high. The main thing about going solar right now is eliminating that bill that you're paying monthly now. And in the future, you can always add a battery at a later date. So if your concerns are just some people like, oh, I just want to go ahead and get it if it's not, you know, I want to get off the grid. But if you're only losing your power one day a year or one day every 2 years, but you're paying a utility bill every minute of the day.
So you're telling me I can run AC off of solar panels?
Yes, sir.
Wow. I had no idea. But that was the other thing you brought up is the battery backup. So they're not where they need to be.
Right.
Elon Musk, I'll throw his name out there. He's known for all the electric, all that. So I guess he doesn't have a battery box use either.
There is one that comes out. Like, for example, let's talk about Hawaii. The benefit of solar is, so the way it works is, during the day you're producing power, and any power you overproduce, what you're generating from the sun, you can eliminate paying what your actual usage is, and if you produce more than you're using, it's going to be sent back to the grid and give you credits.
I like that.
So that's actually great. So at nighttime, it's almost like having a battery backup because actually you're living off the credits you had, you produced from during the day, and that's the good thing about a solar specialist going to go out there and explain it to you and give you a detailed custom design to fit your needs in your home.
That's pretty cool.
All right, now convince me. I'm not as good with money as Gregory Ricks, and I'm worried about the expense. How do you get me into the solar game?
Okay, so technically, the ROI ranges from 5 to 9 years.
Return on investment.
Yes, sir. 5 to 9 years. So the benefits of it is it's really a finance viable business. So technically, the way it works is you have a 30% federal tax credit, and then what also happens is you have a finance payment. So what you're saving on your power, in most cases, it evens out. Sometimes you put money in your pocket from day one. Sometimes you're a little out of $15, $20 out of pocket. So if you have a system that you have in your house, you can't just look at the cost of the system, because the cost of the system, what you're not seeing is, if you don't go solar, that number's scary. So right. In most cases, people that have it within a 25-year time frame, they might be giving $60,000 to $80,000 to the power company, when a solar system costs an average of $30,000 to $40,000. So if you're actually saving $150 a month off a utility bill, your finance payment might be $145 or $170. So it's very smart to do it. And the whole time you're paying for itself. It's kind of like robbing a Peter to pay Paul philosophy.
So they're still doing the thing where you got to pay for it up front, but I can get financing for it. So I don't really have to pony up like $30,000 or whatever it would be.
Yeah, we offer 100% financing. And that's what, when you go solar, you're essentially locking in your cost of electricity. When you finance it, a lot of our customers are cash flow positive right away, immediately. So they're saving money immediately, and then they're saving a ton of money in the long term. And those that aren't cash flow positive immediately are typically cash flow positive in the first few years. And that's because if you're not generating your own electricity, if you're buying it from the utility company, well, those rates on average go up about 4% a year, you know, just above inflation. So you're locking in your cost of electricity by going solar, by creating your own. And that's really the only way that you can control the cost of your electricity is by creating your own.
All right, I got one more pushback here. They don't bother me, but my wife thinks they're ugly.
Well, actually, I've got a text here that might go along with that is, does it have to go on the roof?
There you go.
No, it does not, but they're beautiful. They're sexy.
They look not everybody thinks
they look great.
Well, some like their roof tiles or shingles.
Mm-hmm. Some of them picked out some fancy roof tiles that are special only to this house. Yeah, they may be a little more hesitant.
Well, ours are beautiful. You know, ours are, we use black panels, black front frames, very clean lines. You don't see conduit running all over your roof. You essentially just see the panels.
Okay, and, well, that's that is from a city standpoint, but if you have a house on a lake, on an acre of open land, you don't need the trees hiding solar panels back there, but that's something you could do. Have y'all done that where it's not the roof thing, but they say, we want some juice.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, we build ground mounts all the time out in fields, farms, on properties. We lay a little we pour some concrete, and we build those systems, and they have the same 25-year warranties, very sturdy systems. We also put them on patios, pergolas, workshops.
And in most cases also, you want to put them predominantly on due south. You can do an east-west array. So a lot of times, especially if the back of your house faces south, you're not going to see them anyway. And another benefit is we have two sister companies. We own Bilpro, which is a roofing company. So what happens is some people are like, oh, I don't want a solar on my roof. I'm worried about holes in my roof. Well, first of all, we give you a lifetime guaranteeing of no leaks. And another thing is if you have hail damage or something damaged to your roof, that's another benefit of SunPro is you just call us. You let us know, hey, by the way, a hail hit my house. We're going to meet with your insurance adjuster and take care of everything in-house.
All right. So how they contact you? This is Ethan and Justin, by the way, that we've been talking to from SunPro Solar. The website's pretty easy. GoSunPro.com. Glad y'all jumped on that one pretty quick. But how do they find you? You're in Mandeville. They come by the office, phone call, internet. What do you prefer?
What you can do is they can go to our website, GoSunPro.com, and then they can actually request an estimate. And then our inside specialist will actually call them, set an appointment, and have a consultant meet them. And we're going to offer a $1,500 utility credit if you actually mention winning at life.
All right. You heard it right there. GoSunPro.
Wow, that's good.
Is the company. Justin and Ethan, thank you very much for your time. Good luck with your solar. We'll have to check up on you soon. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Hey there. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I am your co-host, James Parker. Every day, we're going to make you a little bit better with your money. There's going to be some ideas. There's going to be some tips. There's going to be some tricks. That's the whole point of this show. That's why you tune in. Every day, just a little bit better. We're not going to make you Warren Buffett overnight, but we will make you a little better than you were yesterday by the time you're done with this show. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. Gregory is a Hall of Fame financial advisor, 504-260-0995. Coming up, are you too rich to use a regular IRA? There's a couple of ideas for you if you are. And there's people out there who say, oh my gosh, so like they really need the help. No, they do. All right. Just because you're successful doesn't mean we're going to leave you hanging in the lurch and just run around and you're going to be a slap toy. No, we help everybody around here. Some health news, though. I got a couple of pieces here that I want to run by you. Number one is, and this is good news for me, marriage is good for the heart. And I mean literally good for physically speaking your heart, not ethereally speaking about what a nice person you are, but your physical heart, your heart health. So even if it feels like it's a little stressful or, you know, you may be damaging your heart or it kind of rips your heart around sometimes, overall, a new study shows that people, why do they call it this? I mean, science, is they're so smart in some things, but God forbid you ask them to write an article. People living in a spousal union. Did Janet Yellen write this article? Who calls it a spousal union? It's a marriage. Say it with me. Marriage. Marriage. Okay. But anyway, people living in a spousal union. We're less likely to develop all forms of heart disease over the divorced, widowed, or never married. So even if you were married and it didn't work out, then you go back into the unhealthy heart category. So if you're divorced, widowed, or never married, you're in one category. But if you're currently married right now, your heart's a little healthier. That kind of lends the credence to this sort of psychosomatic theory where when you're ready to die, your mind can just decide to kill you. Have you ever seen that? I have. My wife's grandparents on her dad's side. They literally were married for 70 years. And when one of them passed away, the other one went in 3 months just because she was done. Kind of weird, right? It's really, a lot of this really is in your head. But I also like to jump on this story because when I read a study that says marriage is good for your heart, I like that because it reinforces my current lifestyle and makes me feel better about myself. So this all isn't about just science here. A lot of this is about making me feel better. And then another quick health update. Gregory, you're going to love this one. In the United States, cigarette smoking is down to a new record low. Just 13.9% of Americans are currently considering themselves smokers, lowest ever recorded.
Too darn high.
We can get it lower. We can get it lower than that.
Get it to zero.
13.9%.
Yeah, it's just when I see people smoke, it's just, it's almost like we need to have a talk because you do not understand what you're doing to yourself.
And in June, you got to go outside and take a smoke break in the sweltering heat. You don't want to stay in the air conditioning. You love it that much. That's what I'm worried about. Lou, New Orleans, you're going to be first up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Lou?
How you doing, sir?
Hey, doing awesome. And you?
I'm jumping up and down having fun.
All right.
Good.
There you go. I have a question that's about, I'm fixing to get a divorce, and I want to know how much access to my Social Security my soon-to-be divorced wife will have.
How long were you married?
She's trying to press for 20 years.
Well, she was married more than 10, so she could draw half of your benefits down the line. How old are you, Lou?
I am 65.
Okay, and I assume she's about the same age? You know, there's...
Say again, sir?
And she is about the same age?
I think she's about 63 or something like that.
Okay. So, you know, this is something, if she's drawing benefits off your record, she can, and it's her right by the law to do so. And it is zero effect on your benefits. You shouldn't even know unless you and her have a discussion. You actually would not know she's drawing benefits off of your record. Does that help?
When can she start drawing benefits?
You're divorced. She has a
right.
Well,
we will be divorced in about 2-3 weeks.
All right. So doesn't that start at 62? She could turn it on early, but she wouldn't get. She would take a little bit of a haircut on the full benefit if she hadn't wait till the full retirement age. But she could probably turn it on now if she's old enough. You said she's about 62, maybe 63.
That's correct. Okay,
so she could turn it on now, but she would take a little bit of a discount on what she would get off of your record, off any record, really. So if she waits until her full retirement age, she would get exactly half of what your full record would be. But if she turns it on early, she's going to take 8% per year on a discount on that check, and that's for here going forward. She locks in that discount, and that's not a good thing for her, but it's neither here nor there for you.
Yeah, she could start at age 62 years or older. So she could start any time going forward. The deal is she was married to you more than 10 years. And even if you remarry, it does not have any effect her drawing off your record. It you wouldn't even know. She can do so going forward. You might not like it, but there is nothing you can do about it. It's not even a discussion. It's not part of the settlement. It's a part of the Social Security law.
It's no harm, no foul there.
All right, Lou, y'all set?
$1,000 a month. Am I going to be getting $500 a month?
No, it does not affect your record. Whatever she draws will not affect you. You wouldn't even know about it. You can't feel it because there is no effect. It's not anything you need to worry about. You could have had four ex-wives married to each of them 10 years, and they all draw off your benefit, and you wouldn't know it because it has no effect on your check.
All right, Lou.
Thank you, Lou.
Thanks, Lou. Andrew and Slidell, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Andrew?
Okay, the good news is, okay, I'm 55 and I am not divorcing my wife, so that's, I think, a good thing. At least I don't think she's divorcing me. But my question is, when it comes down to being paid out, you know, being paid with Social Security, right now I'm 55. I've been fortunate enough to be able to basically hit the maximum payout for probably at least 10 to 15, maybe even as many as 20 years. It looks like it's at least 15. But if my income drops in the last 10 years, is that going to really impact my Social Security benefits? I've been working full-time since I'm 18 years old and I'm 55.
It's basically the past 35 years, and it technically it's averaged is what's going on there. And even if you have lower income at the back end, and those it's inflation adjusted for those early years also. So you're not going to see much of an impact. Now, how does Social Security look at it going forward as they're projecting? They're not projecting you to make more. They're projecting you as a status quo that you're at least going to stay the same. So you could see a little bit of effect there, but it's not going to be some staggering difference in number.
And I guess my next stupid question, my wife has not had a job since 1989. We've been married for 32 years. And so basically what the last caller was when he was calling, so she'll have no problems with drawing off of my Social Security, 50% of the, you know, whatever she's legally entitled to. So that would be a good thing, correct?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. Her right, if she never hit a lick, did not earn the 40 quarters for Social Security benefits.
Well, she earned still it. It was all raising three kids and putting up with me, but you know what I
right.
mean?
Right. Yeah, by. Point is, she didn't have to work a quarter, and she still has the legal right to 50% of your benefits.
And then, if I pass on, will she be able to basically assume my benefit?
Exactly. You know, that's okay, a yes answer.
Okay, because that's what my biggest concern is. Is it's a case of, you know, we always intended her to go home, go back to work after, you know, the first kid went to school and the second kid went to school. Well, the last kid's, you know, sophomore in college, and the first two have already graduated and grown. So I just, that's just something I'm, you know, that I was listening to the radio and heard the other fella, and I'm like, well, I'm kind of the exact opposite, but I'm a little paranoid about, you know, I haven't done as well as I would have liked to with saving for, you know, for retirement. I've done okay, but, you know, put the wife through college, put all of the kids through college, and I keep joking that when I turn 65, I'm going to go back to college. But you know, that's good information to know. But I really appreciate you guys answering my question because I never looked into it. I'll probably work till I'm dead.
Okay, well, it's about maximizing the check you leave behind, and that's what you're trying to do for her and leave a legacy in that way. It's like a pension. So awesome. And thanks for calling Winning at Life.
Yeah. The one hole that will pop up is when you pass away, the smaller check will go away. That'll be the
well,
only
I know
change.
That, but I'm just saying she could assume what I'm making if I happen to kick
right.
the bucket first.
Yeah. No, you got a handle on it, Andrew. I was more clearing that up for the other people listening than you.
Okay. But, fantastic.
Great.
Thank
yeah.
Gentlemen.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. What a card. If you want to be after Andrew, 504-260-0995. You can also call or text via the Winning at Life app, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
It's a little too loud on the highway.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, the Daily Route. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. Call us, 504-260-0995. I'm going to clean up a little bit from the last caller. inquiring about, is his wife eligible for spousal benefits and maximizing his benefits?
Yes, for Andrew.
Yeah, for Andrew. Social Security calculates your average indexed monthly earnings during the 35 years in which you earn the most. It's not 35 consecutive years. It's the best 35 years. And they are indexed. And even though you may draw lesser earnings on the back end, last few years of your career versus is the previous few years, that still could be more than those early years and kick them out, which increases your average. So you might not actually feel the impact of that reduction at all. And gosh, the phone banks are lit up.
Well, let's mention our live event that's coming up before we talk to these nice people. Tuesday, July 10th, 6:30 p.m., Roos, Chris, and Metairie,
yep.
Gregory Ricks Live.
Wine, wisdom, and food. We're going to talk about some money, give you some financial tips. Wes Blanchard's going to join us. We're going to have some ideas about estate planning as well. So great topics and, gosh, awesome food. We're going to pair excellent wine with some wonderful food, and you know what the main course is going to be. We're at Ruth's Chris now, and then there's going to be a killer dessert with a port wine. $10 to attend. I'm matching it. We're going to donate it to a local charity, and I'm going to give you some wine tips as well at that event. Well, here's the sad thing. It's going to fill up. You need to RSVP, and you should do it now. We have an off-hours answering service, 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com.
It could be the first date to your new financial future. To the phones we go. David Mandeville, you're first up. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, David?
Yeah, I'm trying to find out. I'm going to be 60 this November, and I'm disabled, and I'm trying to find out. My son is disabled. He's 27. He's permanently disabled. If I die, he's actually getting Social Security underneath me. He's getting also the insurance, Medicare. But I'm trying to find out, if I die, does he get part of my Social Security? Because he's getting Social Security right now, but he's not getting very much.
He would continue to get Social Security benefits. It's survivor benefits is what he would be getting if you died, and he's a minor. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome. Easy question. Yeah. Benefit. If he's drawing benefits now, they would continue.
I think, didn't he say the son's 27? Because I got lost when he said that. How would he be getting money from dad if he's 27? So maybe I misheard something.
Could be disability.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're back on track. Joe Thibodeau, you are next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Joe?
Yeah, I listen to you all as often as I can. I'm just wondering, I've gotten to the point where I'm 72 years old, and I'm worried about maybe leaving my children a little problem. My wife and I have accumulated maybe several million dollars, from 6 to 7 million in cash and stocks and assets. What if I would die tomorrow? What type of burden would the cash needed to cover my assets and if the value of my estate would be $7 million.
You do not have an estate planning issue or estate tax issue, because under the tax law changes late last year under the Trump administration, and those numbers were given out early this year, essentially you have a threshold of $11.2 million. So if you're under $11.2 million, you really don't have an estate tax problem. The only tax problem you have
on that passing is if you had interest earned on all that money and say it's sitting in CDs, you know, they're going to have to pay the taxes on the earnings just like you would, but you don't have an estate tax problem. Depending, let's see, and Joe, you're in Thibodeau, so you might have an estate planning issue from the standpoint of do you have a proper will and maybe... Oh, yeah.
Yes, I do. If I die, everything goes to my wife, and if she dies, everything goes to me. Then after either one of us pass away, everything goes to my children.
Did you set up a revocable trust to help with this?
No.
Okay.
No.
If Wes was here, that probably might be something he would suggest with your kind of money to kind of maybe make that seamless. Now, I'm speaking as an idea guy. I'm not the attorney, but that's why we have the Total Wealth Authority, and Wes is the attorney that handles those type of things. So when people come in to talk to us, and they don't have to, you wouldn't have to be a client of mine to work with him. But that might be something with that size of assets to make this more seamless, because a will still moves through succession and a judge signs off, where a trust, a revocable trust, meaning you could undo it, you can change it, unlike the Benson trust, you can make changes, but it makes it more seamless and basically bypasses succession. Just an idea for you out there, since you brought this up, because you do not have a tax issue. I'm not a CPA, but that's actually what the law is.
Right. Well, you've answered my question. I surely thank you. I was supposed to meet with you maybe several months ago, and I had to cancel. But anyway, maybe we'll line something up. I'll have my secretary maybe line something up with you. Maybe look at that.
Okay.
I have an attorney and a tax attorney, and but we've never talked about that before. And I really enjoy listening to you and your staff. And
well, looks like we lost Joe there. Hey, Joe, thank you for listening to the show, and I look forward to having a great visit with you when you eventually find a little bit of time to come in and continue that conversation there. Plus, I'd like to hear about his business and that success that he's had. Somebody that has saved $6 to $7 million. There's something there for other people to learn from.
There's always a story behind that.
Yeah, we'd like to hear Joe's backstory. Thank you once again for calling Winning at Life, and glad we could be of help.
All right, you ready to do the numbers?
Yeah.
The number.
Hey, welcome to the number segment. This is where I give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today. A lot of red out there. I'll start with the bright spot, though. Let's positive foot forward here. The Russell 2000 broke another record. All right, it was up a whole point today, but all our other three major indices were down. Dow Jones down a point. The S&P was down 0.4%. NASDAQ down 0.3%. So there's a lot of beatdown going on in the markets today.
So the 10-year treasuries. Oh. Gosh, I'm having a little issue here. Actually, the yield was lower today on those as well. We were at 2.897%. So money's still flowing in to treasuries at this time. And it's kind of back to those indexes. It's remarkable that we were on the Dow was off as much, I believe, as 400 points at one point there. Yeah, we opened about 24,800, and it saw as low as 24,600 there. Yeah, big moves there. That's just what I recall. We did have what that change was 287.26, what 1%. Yeah, this thing tariffs is ruffling some people. We saw crude being pushed down some today, but still, it looks like it finished up. The end of the day, you have a lot of turmoil during the day, and then it kind of settles by end of the day. By obviously, buying comes back in and says, "Hey, we love the discounts. Thanks." is probably what it's looking like. And, you know, I heard talk about how Trump is tweeting to keep oil down. One of the things, one of the analysts that I heard this morning talk about is Brent crude oil. It's at 75, but being 80 is something to be concerned about. And then we've got gold at $1,276, silver at $16.30.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back.
Dibs.
On your kiss. On your time. Fun song. Winning at Life. On your hand. Daily Route. We do it every evening at 7. All the callers so far, thank you for making this a better show. Everybody loves hearing the stories, getting the financial tips, that guidance. And you know what? You know, my sense from everybody that calls in and listeners, we have a dedicated audience. And you know what it is? Everybody's trying to improve. They're trying to do better. It's like the other caller said, you know, I just didn't do as well as I think I should, but I'm trying. Well, that's what we're all doing. We can always say things about what we've done in the past. All of us. Yeah. We, you know, I should have done this, should have done that. I sure shouldn't have done that, but you know, I'm working hard on it. You know, that can all be kind of for someone portions of our backstory, and they're calling to ask questions to get clarification because why they want to make good decisions. And that's why we're here. I want to make good decisions. I want to make great decisions and guidance. And we had a gentleman come in today that's a radio listener talking about his assets, and he's 3 years to retirement. He's like in his 60s, want to knock off. He's already started Social Security. He just doesn't have a lot of assets saved, and mostly he got bit a couple times, so he's kind of in cash. And then he's probably able to save like $26,000-$27,000 a year of what he's earning there. On these last few years, he's gotten in a position to save some money. And he was talking about, you know, I'm wary of risk, and, you know, I hear about these annuities. And it turns out what my recommendation was for him today, which was the best thing, is to save his money and keep it in cash. You know, be liquid where he's at. Don't put it in an annuity. It has a surrender period. In his situation, that's not viable because he might need some of that money that would be put there. Let's say hypothetically he had $130,000 on hand. And, you know, if you're going to put it in an annuity, what, $50,000, $60,000? But it might, let's say it has a 9-year surrender period, for example. There's a fee to get out. Say it's 10%. It's going to cost him 10%. And being that's all the money he has, what's the likelihood of him? Maybe things turn the wrong way and he needs some of that money.
Within 9 years? Right.
Yeah, because it's retirement. What if we did a 5-year one, was asked. I said, well, then you're probably looking at a CD type of annuity. And we're talking about fixed indexed or fixed interest, not variable there. And so the other, what would we do? Put it in equities? Well, he's adverse to money moving the wrong way. And you know what? He doesn't have enough for it to drift a little bit. So that was one of our concerns there, was that. So I can't, and if he's able to save 25,000 a year at 75,000, he's at 130, I think I said. So that puts him at 205, and let's say he could make and yield off that money another five, let's just call it $10,000. So there he's going to be at 215. But it's not about the yield. It's actually about what he's saving. And gosh, he doesn't need to pay a penalty. He doesn't. And you know what? That was awesome advice I gave. Meeting lasted 20 minutes. Didn't take long. He came there to talk to me. I gave him straight out, there's not anything we should be doing together. You should stay liquid because it's about what you're putting
a way is to make the difference out there. It's about doing the right thing. That's what a fiduciary does. We're a fiduciary firm.
Well, there is some reward in doing the right thing and having the guy thank you and the genuine gratitude. I mean, there's a little bit of reward there.
Well, I felt, you know what, I felt good about it, as I always do. I don't work in a gray area. We're going to do the right thing. And that was the correct thing by him. I'm sure somebody else, oh, yeah, annuity, and we could do this and that. You know what? It's pro bono work as well is mixed into it. That happens on a number of occasions routinely. It's something like, you know, you don't need to be paying us to do something.
It reminds me of Wolf of Wall Street. Whatever comes up, they have another thing for you. They have another stock. They have a tip. They have a secret. They have another investment.
Yeah, well, that's not the way we think. Oh, we got something for you then. Oh, yeah, we got you. No, it could be simple as just you need to stay liquid. Yield isn't the thing here. It's about what you're able to put away is making the difference. Because 3 years does not equal time. It doesn't. You're just not compounding anything. And what I do know about him, he didn't want risks. He didn't want fees. That's the right thing to do.
504-260-0995. Gregory, I'm going to cover a sad little piece of history. Do you know where I'm going with this one? This is kind of we've been watching him circle the drain for a while.
Venezuela?
That's a great guess, but no. It happened. GE is no longer on the Dow.
We actually had a discussion at 6 o'clock. Walgreens
Boots. Isn't that what they're called? Walgreens Boots.
Walgreen Boots Alliance.
Right.
Yeah. A pharmaceutical company is replacing the great GE. But I thought it was a little further off, but we had talked about how this was their last year to be on the Dow. We called it a while back. There's like no way they could stay. So when I saw the alert come on my like handheld computer.
Yeah, we call them phones, but we barely make calls on them these days. So GE is the worst performing stock on the Dow for 2018. It's down 26%.
Yeah, Wall Street Journal 3 hours ago-ish, breaking news. GE is out.
It's down 26% this year. It took a big old bath last year. And this is huge because it is the last remaining stock that was on the original Dow.
And there are great parts of that company. Its whole is a mess, but it's like, gosh, it's a sad thing to do. But, you know, it was time. Just because it used to be great, it isn't great anymore, and maybe one day it can be great and be one of the X's that gets back in, so to speak. Time will only tell, but they got a long ways to go to be relevant again.
That is rare, but that would be an incredible comeback story. When the Dow first popped up is in the late 1800s, 1896, and there were 12 companies on the Dow. And I bet you if you pulled Mr. Dow or Mr. Jones or whoever made these things together in 1896 and you told them in 2018, the last company will finally fall off of this index, they probably wouldn't have believed you. But that's a heck of a record there, 122 years on the Dow.
But you could see in the earlier why American Tobacco was there. Tobacco was everything.
Tobacco built
a great portion of the crops. Yeah. And got everybody to smoking. So yeah, I could see one that was back in the days when this country was a farming nation, not an industrial one.
Right.
So hey, that was kind of interesting.
Built a big chunk of it. Yeah. You can tell by reading down this list that some of these companies were going to naturally go away or at least diminish in their prominence here. But General Electric was the one that held out the longest.
But yeah, look at some of these where you've got, Lockheed Gas, Tennessee Coal and Iron, Chicago Gas, GE. You know, there's kind of a trend there.
That is cool that oil was that big of a player, even in 1896. But that top one, American, was that say cotton oil?
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably wasn't going to stick around much longer.
Now part of Unilever.
Right. It got jumbled into one of the big conglomerates.
And sugar was a big old thing.
Hey, rip through the list. What else is on the list? Let's just go through.
United States rubber.
Okay.
This is interesting. Leather. U.S. leather.
Yeah, probably not as popular these days. Well, they didn't have nylon. They didn't have vinyl. They didn't have parachute pants back then.
Distilling and cattle feeding. And still, sugar. Sugar's a big player today.
All right, tell them about
just we don't need as much of it as our system as we think.
Your day job.
My day job. Hey, by the way, remember, Wine, Wisdom, and Food Experience coming up on July 10th. It's going to fill up. $10. Going to be awesome. Financial, wine and food, and estate planning experience. So you need to touch bases with office on that. As far as my day job, we help you find the path. There's a couple of even reviews today where we were going over income planning and mixing in Social Security and income from assets to see where are they on the path and how does it look going forward. If you'd like help like that, it's real easy. Call 504-832-9200 or go to gregoryricks.com and we will help you.
You're home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.